My friends, spring is in the air, and this upcoming concert season will be all about the way you look and about your boots. And Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you cannot make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your next favorite pair of boots today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to TFL Talking Trucks Podcast, and as always, I'm Andrei Smirnov.
And I'm temporarily Nathan Adlin. Nice to see you.
Only temporarily?
I'm Tommy normally.
Hey, dude. So how about we dedicate this show mainly to Toyota trucks and SUVs?
Well, there are a lot of rumors. There's some facts. There's a lot of stuff creeping around out there.
Yeah, but I want to basically, the headline of this show is the brand new next generation 300 series 2022 Toyota Land Cruiser.
Yeah, and some of that information could be relevant with the upcoming Toyota Tundra.
Yes, and maybe some other trucks as well, because they share platforms.
That's right.
Yes, and yes, of course, the sad news is that the Land Cruiser is not coming to the U.S.
We've known that for a little while. We've hated it. We even did a campaign hoping to convince
Save
Toyota
Land Cruiser.
to stop doing this. Please let it stay. But you never know what the future is going to bring, and there are some interesting facts that might be part of this whole deal. One of the things that was thrilling is seeing this new Land Cruiser kicking up dirt on B-roll, which is extra footage that you guys have seen online. For those of you who are not watching, Andre actually has that up on the screen. And I think it looks really good, at least this model. There's a couple different front ends I'm not too thrilled with, but this looks pretty cool to me. And the thing about this vehicle that is intriguing is its powertrain, some of the stuff that is still old in terms of like a wheelbase, and the fact that it has a 10-speed transmission. These are all very interesting tidbits for us.
Yeah, so obviously it's been a long time. Land Cruiser generations last many, many years.
I think the last models around the time Tommy was born.
Yeah, well, 200 series been, what, 14 years approximately?
Yeah.
Of course, this is Toyota, very methodical, right?
And, yeah.
And, well, we follow this very closely,
mm-hmm.
obviously, even though it's not coming to the U.S. The body is new. They actually subtracted about 440 pounds generation to generation. This new Land Cruiser is lighter.
Much lighter.
Which is important, right? I mean, on all bases.
In every way, lightness matters, off-road and on-road.
Yeah, you're talking about better acceleration, better braking, better efficiency, better off-roading.
Yeah.
All those things are cool. So if we can learn from this and actually see this one, and if of course, if you're watching us on TFL Talk channel, you can get some pictures of the Land Cruiser. If you're just listening to us, thank you.
We appreciate that.
We really appreciate it. And of course, we can talk through all of it.
That's correct. Now, keep in mind that a lot of the information that we're talking about is available online, and it's on tfltruck.com, so you'll be able to see a lot of this stuff as well if you want to keep up with it. But what we're talking about here is sort of a combination of facts and some speculation as it trickles down to the American market and other markets. Now, what's really interesting is that when the Land Cruiser was unveiled, it was unveiled to an international audience. What a lot of people here in the States I don't quite get is the fact that this is a big selling vehicle in every market but ours. One of the reasons why it disappeared,
yes.
Right? So, for instance, Saudi Arabia, Russia,
Australia.
Yes. These are huge markets for that vehicle, which is a shame that ours isn't as big for it because that's why it didn't stay. So when Andre was watching one of the promotional videos for it, he had to sit through what seemed hours of people from all over the world talking about how wonderful the vehicle was.
Yeah.
But
they didn't show it.
I
watched the global reveal, right?
Right.
And it was about, well, it was probably 30 plus minutes. And the main part of the video, about 20 minutes of it or 25 minutes of it, it was just many representatives and people and hosts speaking about how great Land Cruiser is, which we know.
We know it's great. We've owned one. We've driven every model possible.
Yes. And especially Tommy. He went to the museum.
Yeah, Tommy has. Overseas, I drove the first generation of and their pickup truck version of it as well, which was an interesting ride. But I wanted to question Andre on two different numbers, which actually have something to do with this and many other vehicles. The first number is 112.2 inches, and the second number is 2,850 millimeters. Why are these numbers significant when it comes to the Land Cruiser?
Yeah, because after I finished watching this debut video, they actually interviewed at the very end of this debut, they interviewed the chief engineer.
Basically. For like a minute.
Well, maybe a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And he was speaking Japanese, but it was translated, right? Uh-huh. And subtitled, and I really appreciated that, and actually learning more from, you know, some of the engineers overseas. And he called the wheelbase a golden ratio. And it just took me aback for a second. I was like, wait a minute, a wheelbase? Why is he talking about ratio? A golden ratio is technically like symmetry, beauty, right? But he is actually applying this term to the wheelbase of the vehicle. And he basically said, since Series 80, this is three generations
ago. Way back,
ago,
yeah.
The wheelbase was the same, and it remains the same, which is 112.2 inches, which translates, like you said, to 2,850 millimeters approximately. And he said this is a really good wheelbase for this size of vehicle, which has three rows, right, of seats, and is this size, about 70 inches wide. And it combines, you know, best attributes of clearance and also ride quality.
So this is their golden... this is perfect for them, for Toyota.
Yeah, for Toyota, and it's perfect for them. And I didn't know this, so I was elated. I was like, yes, you know, not only do I like, you know, that the new generation is actually coming to the world, right? And I'm obviously still learning a lot of new elements about this, and I was really really happy. So they, like we said, they decreased the weight. Mm-hmm. It's brand new design, inside and out. Interior picture, of course, interior is also new. New engines.
Yes. Now, before we get to the engine and the transmission and the rear ends and all that other stuff, yeah, I wanted to ask a couple quick questions. So you were talking about the wheelbase. So that's the same as the 80, the 100, and the 200. Is this known as the 300 series?
It is, yes.
Okay.
So they just basically, you know, up the numbers.
Mm-hmm. So that's a new frame. Right?
Yes.
So an all-new vehicle, basically.
Basically. And, I mean, so we can go deeper on this. And obviously, we haven't seen it in person.
No.
So it's kind of hard for us to get all the elements. But one of the ways they actually updated or removed weight is they worked on the welding processes. So the welding that comprises, you know, part of the frame and also the body components and the chassis and everything else, they worked to make those tighter, more lightweight, more efficient. Obviously, it also helps with manufacturing, right?
Right.
So they can kind of almost speed up the manufacturing process, make it very efficient and also lightweight. So they worked on that. The suspension is new, or at least the geometry, some of the geometry of the suspension has been updated. They also have the latest, you know, KDSS system, the kinetic system for their suspension. They updated it now with electronics. So it's smarter than ever.
Yeah, so that keeps you level and, more importantly, keeps the wheels in contact with the ground.
With the ground, the tires, as much as possible.
That's really the whole point of the system, is giving you maximum traction.
And they have advanced it.
Yes.
We haven't driven it, so we don't know exactly how.
Right, this is based on their announcements. This isn't based on our testimony. So I'm looking at the interior. Now, for those of you who are listening, the interior is completely new. It's very modern, but it still has elements that are very Toyota, including the center steering wheel marker. And the overall design is simple, elegant, I think I would put it. It's not as convoluted as, say, an Lexus interior. And what I'm looking at here are spots where there's actual buttons and knobs. But there's also a very large infotainment screen. I'd say that thing's about 12 inches wide. Maybe even more.
Yeah. So they were saying that this is up to 12 inches, at least in this iteration of the screen. We don't know what's going to power this infotainment system, but we have a clue, that which we can talk a little bit later in the show.
Yes.
Because I also went with Roman, in fact.
To Texas.
To Texas.
We'll cover that in just a couple minutes after we're done with the...
At Toyota headquarters, and I learned a lot over there too.
Yes, you did.
This interior I really like you were saying, it also feels luxurious, right? It feels luxurious, at least from these images, and also high-tech in a way, because look, of course they had to do cameras, right? Different camera views, for example, like this one where you can kind of see through the hood and you can
see
the
once again wheels. if you're listening, what Andre is showing us is the fact, very similar to Land Rover, you can actually sort of see a enhanced view of the front end of the vehicle as you're getting up to obstacles, and it helps for tire placement. Basically, it shows an invisible front end where the only thing that is visible are the tires and what they're hitting and where they're going.
Yeah, it's kind of a simulated overlay of the tires on top of the terrain, which is really cool.
Right. Yeah. It is very cool, and hopefully in time we'll test a similar system and we can tell you how accurate it is.
Yeah, usually what happens with these camera systems, it's usually one camera, so you're losing some depth perception, right?
Right, it has to simulate it and figure it out, and now they're getting smarter and smarter, so it looks good, but this is, bear in mind, image coming from the manufacturer. So what are we looking at here? It looks like a new front end?
Yeah, different suspension systems and also some showing some of the KDSS or EKDSS.
Okay, so I'm looking at coilovers up front, and that's the EKDSS, the new system.
Yeah, and also, of course, coils in the back, which have been there before, but the geometry is a little bit different. So then...
Wait, was that an independent rear suspension?
No, but
okay, it's a solid rear. Okay.
It is. It's hard to see in these images, but yeah, it is a coil sprung axle.
Okay.
But they also said no V8. You know, that's what we wanted to learn, right?
That's what the big story is, right?
Right. And for the world market, they announced two engines. In fact, they announced a twin turbocharged V6 gas, and then they also announced a twin turbocharged V6 diesel. So those
we will
engines.
Never see the diesel in the United States. I can almost guarantee that. But that twin turbocharged V6 gas engine sounds like something that might work its way to our shores.
Yeah, and that's and it has to do with this show, obviously, because it's about trucks, right?
Right.
And it could transition to the Tundra that we will see in the U.S. Could, because Toyota hasn't officially announced it, other than they just recently showed us an engine cover that says...
And that's what this part is about.
iForce Max. That's what they're calling it.
So Andre, when he saw that picture, went onto the internet, actually plugged in and went into the matrix itself and made sure that the engine cover that he was looking at was similar in design, just the engine cover, mind you, to what they showed on the picture from Toyota.
Land Cruiser, yeah.
So the Land Cruiser engine cover and the one on the Tundra that has been shown all over social media match up, am I correct?
Yes, and they do appear to match up. According to my forensic
as he was leeching his way through various computer systems. So the point is that it's looking very likely that we are going to get this powertrain or a version of this powertrain in the new Toyota Tundra.
Yeah, and here's the image that Toyota released. So if you're not obviously watching our podcast, it's basically the top of the engine cover. It looks to be a kind of a V6 because it kind of has three runners on each side in plastic.
Mm-hmm, right.
And also it says iForce Max.
But the Max is highlighted in blue, my friend.
Yes.
What does blue mean?
And originally I kind of glossed over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I had to go back and look. And blue in Toyota speak or in Toyota logo.
Speak I think, is fine.
Means hybridization, electrification.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been rumored for many, many months, maybe
years. Years, dude.
Yes, that the next truck will be a hybrid as well.
Correct.
According to their executive sales vice president, Bob Carter, at Toyota, the Tundra will have two engines. Options, mm-hmm. two choices. So a standard engine, which will already be powerful.
Which might be the twin turbocharged V6.
Yeah. And then some other engine that he didn't disclose what it was.
Which sounds like it's going to be the hybrid version.
Yes.
With that. So that type of power hooked up to some sort of hybrid system. This may sound familiar because Ford has done that with Andre's truck.
F-150. I did buy an F-150 hybrid a few months ago. If you've been listening, you know this, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure Toyota is looking into that or was looking into it.
Well, it's a successful setup so far. It's proven to be pretty damn awesome.
And, you know, Toyota is... They don't want to hold back, apparently. I mean, I hope they don't hold back.
Well, it wouldn't make sense if they were to come out with an inferior powertrain right off the bat. So they need something that competes.
And also competes for a long time.
Well, that's the other
thing. Because they can't just come out with an engine and next year, what are you going to do next year?
Right. So it makes sense that they have this. The question is, did they build something that is more robust, perhaps more efficient, and more capable than the Ford powertrain? Because that's what this is competing with, right? General Motors does not have an engine that quite competes with this directly, right? They have their V8 engines. The only turbocharged engine they have is the 4. And that's on a different level.
Yeah.
And then you look at Stellantis. Getting used to saying that. Ram doesn't have an engine that competes with this either yet. And at all, in fact. They just
have V8s
and
V6s.
And a
V6. Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying Ford, guys. That's specifically why. And Nissan, no, they don't. So Ford versus Toyota in terms of powertrains, I think that makes sense. So then the question is, what can Toyota do to beat Ford or match them? And that will be the big question. But there is something else, and that's the transmission.
Yeah, and the Land Cruiser was announced with a 10-speed automatic.
Bingo.
Ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. Who else has a 10-speed automatic?
That would be Ford, my friend.
Yes. And also GM,
GM. And, well, they co-developed part of that transmission years ago.
Together, yes.
And then they went their separate ways in terms of how the software works and the whole thing. But those two transmissions were essentially dreamed up together. Toyota was not part of that group.
Right. And you're saying, you know, how can Toyota compete? Well, the Land Cruiser engine is rated at 409 horsepower and 479 pound-feet of torque.
Now, those are good numbers.
Great numbers. Right now, the Ford F-150 3.5-liter is rated at 400 horsepower
mm-hmm.
and 500 pound-feet of torque. So Toyota
within
is beating
the same
engine type. So Toyota is beating them on horsepower and is a little bit lower on torque. But of course, you know, they may have different rear axle ratios,
right?
Other transmission ratios. So
I
of
wonder
course,
if Toyota's going to stick with their, because they've had one axle ratio pretty much. In their
right now in the
Tundra,
it's a 430, which
right.
is a monstrous like. Towing axle.
But it's not very efficient.
No. So they need to be on the efficient game.
That's what I'm saying. I'm curious to whether or not they're going to move in that direction. And then what we don't know, obviously, is that what this hybrid might do. Now, what is your output on your hybrid?
So the Ford hybrid is 430 horsepower
mm-hmm.
and 570 pound-feet of torque combined.
So torque monster.
Yeah, it's almost like a diesel engine. I mean, some
right.
of the diesel engines are in a similar torque number.
Plus you have stupid range.
About
600 miles.
650 to 700 miles. So Ford quotes 700 mile range.
Not when I drive it.
I have come close to that, but of course I'm also towing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And my recent fill up, I went about 640 miles on the tank. Still mind-boggling.
Considering range. What that it's a gas truck, not a diesel. Okay, so we have, you know, the bar is set with Ford. What can Toyota do to make their truck competitive with this powertrain that we're, in theory will be a hybrid, and you know, in theory, will compete with Ford? It makes sense. 10-speed automatic transmission. The overall setup is very similar. Twin turbocharged V6, probably sandwiched in between the gas engine and the transmission will be the electric motor.
Yeah. Or they could do something a little different. Right now, the best, I guess, the most high-performance hybrid they have is the Prime, which is a plug-in.
And it's so, a beast.
The RAV4 Prime is a plug-in, and it's a beast. It's quick. It's relatively efficient. And they're also using that Prime powertrain now in the Lexus NX.
Yeah, which we'll cover in just a few more moments.
We'll cover that, too. So could this Tundra be a plug-in? I don't know.
That would be a game changer in itself if it was a PHEV.
It would be because, but there's a couple of trade-offs here, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could be super powerful, quite efficient. It could have electric only range up to about, I don't know.
That's if it's a PHEV.
If it's a plug-in, it could have 20, 30, or whatever miles of electric range. It could have huge total driving range. But it could add a lot of weight to the truck.
Yeah, because you need a pretty big battery in order to make a big truck like that move any distance that's worth noting.
Yes, right? And we don't know what Toyota is doing to remove weight. You know, Ford went to aluminum body, aluminum bed in the previous generation of the truck.
Now, we know that Toyota has a new frame, though, which is supposed to be strong and lightweight, but we don't know anything about it, really.
Exactly. So they're probably using some of the same techniques they used on the Land Cruiser, right?
Mm-hmm.
Welding techniques, other techniques to remove weight. But how much weight can they remove to add more battery weight to it, right?
That's a big question.
That's the unknown, right? So we don't know exactly. They say it will blow us away. They also, this image also shows, you know, those orange cables in the back.
Yeah.
Which are indicative of a hybrid system.
Right, because that is like the, you know, the world thing of saying, you know, all over the planet.
Danger.
There's electricity flowing through here. Please don't tap into this.
Yes. Please don't cut it or...
expose a wire and put your tongue to it.
Yes. Please don't do that.
So the bottom line, though, is that we're pretty sure it's going to be a hybrid. The big question is if it's going to be a PHEV or a regular hybrid. So let's say it's not. Let's say it's a regular hybrid system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to do something similar to what Ford did in terms of using extra power in the back, which I think is brilliant, by the way, having a setup where you can plug it in and actually run real stuff?
Yeah, like a generator
system.
It makes sense. Dude, yeah. So a lot of the electric trucks are going this way, like GMC Hummer is also going to be offering some power export capabilities.
I believe so are some of the other competitors as well.
Yeah, so Rivian is talking about that.
Right.
You know, others are talking about this. We haven't tested a lot of these systems yet because those trucks are not available yet.
No, this is all based on their testimony, not
but
ours.
I think Toyota obviously has all the resources in the world. They're one of the biggest companies.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure they can do that and much more if they wanted to. And of course, they're looking at the American market as the truck market, right? This is where trucks are very popular.
Indeed, they are.
And Tundra is actually only North American.
Yep.
You know, you won't be able to go to Europe or Asia and find a Tundra. So,
no,
at least officially on sale.
Yeah, and Tundra is still being built in Texas, am I correct?
Exactly, San Antonio.
In San Antonio. And so is Tacoma, but Tacoma is also being built in Mexico.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Texas, why don't we move on and talk about what you guys did in Texas, because that actually ties into not just this vehicle, but also other Toyota products, and that's including possibly the Tacoma, because there's some crazy rumors about the next generation Tacoma, its powertrain, and we've heard these rumors. I'm not dispelling any of them. However, I want you guys to think about them as well, because some of them are a little hard for me to grasp or at least completely agree with. So before we get to that, though, let's talk about what happened in Texas. And you both have recovered. I think Andre was exposed to tequila. He prefers vodka. Big surprise. But, Texas tequila, agave, all that stuff. So now that you guys are back and you've done a whole bunch of videos, and you guys saw everything from Lexus products to the new Toyota Corolla Cross.
Toyota 86, GR. Yeah,
the GR,
yep.
That kind of off-roady, almost minivan.
yes.
You know, you guys have seen, is it Timberline? Is that what they're calling
Woodlands.
It? Woodlands.
Woodlands. Woodlands edition.
Woodlands edition. So in other words, you guys saw a whole bunch of stuff in a very limited amount of time, but you still managed to get some interesting stories, and you got Roman to go into that pose. That's one of my favorites. Our poses are chosen by our cameraman, by the way. We don't choose them in case you guys are upset about it. Just yell at them.
Blame the camera guy.
Blame the camera guy.
Which was me in this case.
Sorry. Which is true. I was trying to take the blame off
it's,
you guys.
It's fine.
All right.
So Toyota invited many, many journalists across the country to their headquarters. Mm-hmm. And actually, this was really cool. First of all, it was one of the first events with a decent number of people after COVID.
After COVID.
So,
well, we're still in COVID, to be fair. But
I'm sorry. After the shutdowns.
After shutdowns,
After major quarantines. So, first of all, that was quite special. And the other thing that Toyota wanted to do is actually show not just their campus, which is beautiful, mm-hmm. but also all the latest products that they have, because they haven't been able to, you know, do these things during the shutdowns. So they had everything. Every model they make was on display.
Great.
And obviously, some of the models haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the models are continuing on the same. But a lot of the new stuff came out, like you said, the brand new Toyota Corolla Cross, which is basically a little crossover, a subcompact crossover with all-wheel drive.
I'm liking that thing, by the way.
Which is affordable. They haven't announced pricing yet, but it will be at the near the bottom of their all-wheel drive crossover list.
Well, yeah, they need an entry-level crossover to go up against the HR-V and a whole bunch of those other vehicles that are out there,
yeah.
which they haven't really had. With all-wheel drive. So that's what the
CHR is, of course, two-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's right. A front-wheel drive. That doesn't really count in my book. So this is something that, at least in Colorado, will be a hell of a vehicle in all snow areas, because it will have an all-wheel drive offering. And if it's what I'm thinking with their system, it'll be very similar to what the Camry has with an all-wheel drive system, which is actually pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm. And so, and then they offered us actually on the second day of this event some off-roading opportunities and mm-hmm. also track driving, you know, fast track driving opportunities. Roman and I kind of steered towards off-roading because we love off-roading.
That's what we do.
And we are not Paul Gerard. We're not a Stig. So we can't quite, you know, get everything on the racetrack.
And to be honest with you, you know, you only learn so much about a daily driving car when you put it on a racetrack. That's always been my thing. As much as we love doing it, that's sort of an indulgence that's not necessary for you guys, not right off the bat. But going off-road is something we do almost every day.
And a lot of you guys do that too.
Yep, a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
So what did you guys do off-road?
So we did several videos. We already published two of them from the off-road courses. We did Tacoma versus Tundra, and these are the current generation ones.
Mm-hmm.
So 2021s, and we did TRD Pro. Comparison once again, because on this really muddy, it's been raining like heck in Texas right before this event.
Yeah.
So everything was soupy and the mud was really dark. We're not used to that in Colorado. You know, in Colorado,
everything dry. So it's either snow, a little bit of slush, or dry and hard as a rock.
Yeah. So we're not used to this terrain. So we took advantage of it. We also did a Lexus LX versus GX, which is kind of, you know, the premier overland / off-road vehicles from Lexus.
Which are the current generation, though. You didn't drive the next generation of these vehicles.
Exactly. Not yet. I wish we did.
I know.
And then we also did 4Runner and Sequoia, the current generation ones, of course, with some of the most recent packages. And the 4Runner against Sequoia video is not published yet. That's coming a little bit later. And those are going to be on TFL Off-Road YouTube channel. So we did learn a lot. I met Ivan Stewart. Iron Man Stewart.
Who's met all of us now.
Yes.
He drove met, with Roman.
He's met Roman.
I met him briefly.
Yes.
And he's actually really cool and like really down to earth.
Yeah, really cool. I was a little starstruck when I saw him.
I bet you were.
He's also a big dude. I mean, he's very tall.
Does he still have that cool hair?
Yes.
He has cool hair.
Yes. His hair is cooler than
Roman's. He's kind of Iron Man, you know, he is intimidating, you know. There are rumors that people have run away from him back in the racing days.
So his vehicle of choice was the LX 570.
Interesting.
Because he could have driven any of these trucks.
Right.
Tacoma, Tundra, 4Runner, Sequoia, GXs. he was specifically went directly for the LX, and I actually caught up with him at the end of the day, and I said, Ivan, why did you choose the LX? And he said, it's the most comfortable. Well, what am I to say?
You're going to say yes, you're absolutely right, and I will buy one now.
And he basically was drifting this thing in the mud. We have some of the pictures of this Lexus LX.
So a $95,000 Lexus or whatever being drifted
sideways. I think
sideways.
It was over 100K.
Yeah, but by Iron Stewart.
Yes.
How cool is that?
And he spoke very highly of it, and he took me on a little route. Mm-hmm. He was taking passengers, giving rides. And yeah, I could tell, his whole thing is protect your vehicle, mm-hmm. right? You can go balls out, just complete 100% throttle, and then you break your vehicle. So that's his, methodology, just go as fast as you can, and then protect your vehicle. And he was showing me how to do that.
Well, that was his, even during racing days, he told me that's how he would get through. The thing about Stewart is that he would finish the race. It doesn't matter how fast you are. If you're not going to finish the race, you're not going to do anything.
Right.
He would finish races, and he just happened to win a lot of them. And that was by perseverance and also understanding the vehicle and staying below its maximum so you don't blow the thing to pieces. So that makes total sense.
Dude, he's got 17 Baja 500 wins. This dude is...
Oh, yeah, he has a video game named after him, which I
He's won almost, every conceivable off-road race.
Yeah, and he really did take Toyota from being kind of obscure off-road to being one of the more dominant brands. And he also took small trucks and mid-sized trucks up a whole new level with off-roading and brought them to, everybody's attention, if you think about it. So, And there's Roman, and that LX looks... The cool thing is, for those of you who don't know, this is basically a Land Cruiser, right?
Yes.
It's a Land Cruiser with more, with niceties planted within.
More luxurious
yes.
items. And it, of course, right now, both the LX and the Land Cruiser were on sale until the Land Cruiser got discontinued.
But the LX is still in the market.
Yeah, and the rumor is that Lexus and Toyota are going to obviously get the next generation LX. And also potentially bring it to the U.S.
So that will be the new Land Cruiser. So the 300
chassis,
and possibly powertrain will become the next generation LX. That's the rumor.
Yeah,
I hope so.
And by the way, in this picture, I'm showing you the concept LX Overland vehicle, which is they call J201. J201 is basically kind of the LX code internally for Lexus.
Right, and that's something that they've had.
J200 is. And 201 is this concept, which is showing, the steel bumpers and the suspension system.
And it looks like they got rid of all the lower cladding, which they normally have, which is what I hate. And they got rid of it so this thing can actually be a proper off-roader. And Roman is demonstrating some of its flexing skill.
yes. And do you see the little white LX in the background?
Yeah, right at his elbow.
Yeah, do you see that one? That's Ivan Iron Man Stewart drifting by as Roman is taking the picture.
Drifting by and kicking rocks at Roman, which I'm... Once again, love the guy, so thank God he's throwing rocks at Roman.
Yes.
It's a really cool-looking concept, and there are a lot of people out there, and it's funny because people doubt it, but actually there are a lot of people who like to do this type of thing with their LX models and their GX models.
Yes.
Yeah, they like to beef them up and make them seriously off-road capable.
So one more story about Ivan. As he was kind of showing me the drifting capabilities of the Lexus LX, he also just happened to mention to me, Andre, tomorrow is my birthday.
No kidding.
And I said, what? He's like, yeah, I'm 76.
76?
Yes.
Wow, he's a little older than...
As he was drifting in Texas, in Alexis.
See, I grew up with him, winning all these races. I didn't really. He was already old when he was winning these races.
And he's still kicking out there.
Yeah, at 76 years old, he's out driving probably anybody else nearby.
So there is a lot more rumors about the LX.
Okay.
During the NX presentation, the global Lexus NX, which is their compact SUV crossover.
Yeah.
They mentioned something else is coming. And they kind of pointed to a veiled... LX that looked like the current generation. But, so it is coming. And they said this year, either globally or North America locally or somewhere, the next generation LX will show itself.
And we'll know a lot more about what we're going to be getting based on that.
And I've been listening to some of our friends, you know, David Chow at Automotive Press, and also Kirk Kreifels at his channel. They were talking about different LX rumors. We don't have a lot of confirmation on this, but they're also saying that LX 600 is going to be one of the names potentially, or LX 750, which is like this premier luxury barge flagship, basically.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So some of those rumors are flying around.
Yeah, there's a lot of other rumors too. So why don't we get to the other products that were at Toyota and talk about some of those other rumors, which these guys have talked about as well.
Yeah, and I want to mention Lexus NX. It's a 2022 model. It's brand new. New generation. It's basically based on the latest RAV4 platform.
Yeah, just so you guys know, I went to the original NX unveil, which was years ago in Seattle. And it's a decent luxury vehicle, but when you have that knowledge in the back of your mind that it is basically an expensive RAV4, some people shy away from it. But it's still a very good seller for Lexus. It is, I think, their third best-selling vehicle. Under vehicles like the regular, LX and some other ones?
RX.
So it's quite good in terms of sales, but they needed to update it. It was already old. Now there's a new RAV4. There's a RAV4 Prime, and there's new platforms, new technology. Now they have a new NX.
Yes, and many of you may not understand this or know this, but a lot of vehicles, not just Toyota and Lexus, but a lot of manufacturers share platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes sense. It's economies.
You get a return on your investment.
Economy of scale. Mm-hmm. It's more efficient to build. It's more efficient, and the consumers usually win because the pricing can be controlled, right?
Right.
They control the pricing, so it's a little bit more affordable in most cases. Of course, Lexus is a premium vehicle, so of course it'll have higher pricing because of its luxury and other features. But the Lexus NX was unveiled. And how does this relate to trucks? Why are we talking about a small crossover on a truck show? Well, because it has a couple of different interesting engine options.
Right.
And most notably, and I actually saw this engine in person. I didn't get to drive it, but when I was in Texas, I opened up the hood in one of these NXs, the 350 model. And it's a brand new 2.4-liter turbocharged engine.
So, and what's its output?
275 horsepower and 317 pound-feet of torque. And what was curious about it, because everybody thought, oh, it's a 2-liter.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've had a 2-liter turbo before.
Yes, they have.
And they thought, oh, they're going to retune it, right? Increase the power, boom, plug it in, done. See ya.
That's what I thought they would do, too.
But it's a different displacement. It's a 2.4-liter four-cylinder engine, and they also created this 8-speed automatic transmission that mates to it.
Okay. So the rumors are, now this is a front-wheel drive bias vehicle.
Yes.
Right? And that means that this 8-speed setup with this four-cylinder turbo is meant for a front-wheel drive vehicle. However, recently, there has been speculation that somehow this powertrain and possibly even some form of this transmission will go into the next generation Toyota Tacoma. That may be based on the displacement and power of this engine, because if you look at the Ford
Ranger
and its current numbers or some other vehicles that are out there, they're very competitive. The 8-speed automatic transmission, sure, an 8-speed would be a hell of a lot better than a current 6-speed.
Yeah.
That makes sense too. However, the reason why I'm a little dubious about this is because that 8-speed that they're talking about is set up for front-wheel drive, completely different architecture than what would be needed to work in an actual pickup truck front-engine rear drive bias. So that in itself is a little questionable. Now, this NX also has some other stuff going on, including its interior and infotainment system, and Andre got an opportunity to mess with it.
Yeah, I did. And I just want to mention one more thing about the Tacoma rumor, right? Obviously, Tacoma, everybody wants Toyota to redesign the Tacoma because other manufacturers are coming out with latest trucks.
They now have the oldest truck once the Nissan actually hits the market.
Once the Frontier comes out, right? And that's... I get that, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It needs to happen in some way.
And there is also this trend to downsize engine. engines.
Yeah.
Without losing power, because you can boost turbocharged engines.
Sure, sure. And at the same time, gain efficiency.
Yeah, gain efficiencies, downsize engines, retain a lot of power. So this is, I think, why this rumor is here, that this 2.4 liter engine in some other configuration, maybe with a rear drive orientation, could actually live on and be used in other products like the 4Runner.
Possibly.
Can you imagine that? I mean, 4Runner started as a turbocharged.
They had it a little bit later after it was. Yeah. But the point is that, I mean, I think they started with a 22R.
I mean, yeah, very basic engine.
A very, very basic engine. But the thing is that now it has the old 4-liter that's been around forever. And, you know, people are screaming that that needs to be changed.
So Toyota hasn't confirmed this, obviously, but that's where the rumor is coming from. Mm-hmm. Downsizing, efficiencies, and other companies like, you know, GM is thinking about a 4-cylinder turbo in their Colorado trucks, right?
Yeah.
Ford is already doing it.
Right.
Many others are going this
Nissan
way.
Nissan has that new 3.8, which is powerful and efficient.
Right. So, kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But let's leave it at that because it's unofficial.
It's not even close to being official. It's just speculation.
But what is official is that, like you mentioned, I saw the new Lexus interface.
Right. And this is a very interesting thing because we might see this trickle down to Toyota products trucks in the future.
Yeah. So basically what Toyota is doing, and you probably know this if you've been in a recent Lexus or Toyota SUV or truck, that their systems have been kind of the same.
Suck. They suck.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, but Lexus, especially Lexus, and to a lesser extent Toyota, their infotainment systems are not great. Not at all.
Well, the Lexus had this mouse pad, this little trackpad.
Both versions of their mouse pad were very difficult for their main customer, anybody who's Roman's age or older.
Ooh.
And the thing is that if those people are having a hard time with the interface, they're not going to want to use the system, and it's going to sour them. And I have factual information on this. A relative, sort of an in-law, leaves the vehicle, their Lexus, on an AM radio channel because they're terrified about touching the mouse pad and screwing everything up so they can't even hear their favorite AM radio station. Now, I'm not saying that all of them listen to AM radio, but the point is that the system itself, that haptic mouse pad thing, is terrible. And then, only until recently, I mean, a lot of their screens weren't receptive to touch. And if they are now, they're small, not competitive with a lot of people out there, and old-fashioned thinking. So the point is that they understand that, they've heard it, they factored that in, and they've done a lot to make changes.
Yeah, basically there's a now kind of a subsidiary company called Toyota Connected and Connected Services, which is basically a software-focused company.
Right, they brought like 300 people into to work this.
Yeah, thing. They now have up to 300 different engineers and software engineers working on the system. They've been working on the system for several years. Mostly in secret because it just got unveiled as part of this Lexus NX. And I was fortunate enough, once again, in Texas, actually sit down in the driver's seat. I wasn't driving, but I was able to play.
You got to play with the system.
Play with the system, and I was very pleasantly surprised and just, you know, it was a nice experience. It's a very simple system. It's basically in the most premium version of the NX. It's a very large screen, which is just over 14 inches diagonal, which is huge. It's a horizontal screen. It has a hard physical knob for volume. It has physical knobs for temperature.
Right, which you can see in the middle of those knobs, the actual digital readout for what the temperature is.
So it's kind of attached to this digital screen.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a similar execution to the Mach-E, the Mustang.
Yeah, it actually looks a lot. It's a nicer looking screen. In terms of presentation.
And it's more integrated into the dash.
Exactly. That's my point. That's my point. And what's that on the upper left-hand corner?
So on the upper left, it's a engine start. Oh. So it's a big button that you can clearly see. It's not hidden behind the steering wheel. You don't have to bend your head over and see it. Also on the bottom, there's a near the transmission shifter. There's another knob down there for driving modes.
Right.
So Eco, Normal, Sport, Sport Plus. Etc. So that's easy to understand.
And it actually has a lever for the transmission. Thank you, Lexus.
A little lever, exactly. And then the whole digital screen is a touch screen, of course, voice activated. You can talk to it pretty normally and naturally. And just very simple music, phone, settings, and navigation. What else do you need?
Right. And at the same time, whenever you go to a different screen, and it's a crystal clear display, of course, you still maintain your temperature for your seats and everything else. All that stuff
stays.
Is right there. Right.
So it doesn't go away.
You don't have to find it again and bring it back up. It's always there because it makes sense. You know, Roman with his osteo can barely reach the screen sometimes. So when he's able to, he likes being able to hit that heated seat thing so he can sit normally. And that's going to stay on the screen. I actually really like that considering how many vehicles we've tested. So the bottom line here is that they get it. They're redoing it. And most likely we're going to see this type of screen or a similar version of it trickle down into other Toyota product.
And it can work with different screen sizes.
Mm-hmm.
So 10-inch screens, 9-inch screens, whatever
right.
it may be, 12. So they designed it to be flexible. I met some of the software team actually in Texas. I was able to speak to them also during dinner, which was really, really great. And so obviously they couldn't release or announce information.
Did you guys talk in like ones and zeros? Because I know that that's how you guys talk.
It's like 1-1-1-0-0-0.
Andre used to be a big tech guy with a different company.
I was, yeah. And I used to work at Oracle as a software
database. There's a patent under your name.
There is.
Yeah.
The patent I was on a team with that worked, it was like data transfer over a network.
So this type of stuff is absolutely in your wheelhouse.
We came to a common language. We spoke to not ones and zeros, but a common language. And of course, they couldn't announce and say, oh, yes, all these vehicles will have this. But they said this is the way. This is where they're
this
moving.
This is the way. There you go. Quoting something that's modern. This is the way.
So they said, you know, we like the system internally. They're showing it to us now in the Lexus. Expect to see something similar in other products.
Now, I asked you this off camera, is this similar or as good or perhaps even better than Uconnect, which is one of our favorite systems because it's easy.
I think it's simpler than Uconnect.
That is
and
huge.
I think that's a really positive thing because there's not a lot of deep levels. You don't have to go like 3 or 4 levels into a menu to figure out, you know, what your fuel efficiency is or, you know, to change the channel.
Like the German companies that force you to swing a dead cat over your head,
oh my goodness.
Dance the polka, yes. and then finally find something 6 or 7, you know, clicks in. This is something that is simple. It looks like it's intuitive. Everything Andre's told me about this system sounds like it is a major step in the right direction. And this may be top of the class if it's as good as you say it is.
Yeah, and of course, you know, as with software, there could be glitches. You know, I'm not saying that this will be perfect, but I think, like you said, where they're going, I think they're on the right path. This is the way. For them. So
I hope Disney doesn't sue us.
Oh wow.
Stop this thing. Hey, wait a minute, you're not allowed to say that.
By the way, if this is the last episode you hear, it will be because of this.
I think I still have Michael Eisner's home phone number. Maybe you can help us out.
So a lot of stuff, dude, except, you know, once again, we don't have a lot of meat on the tundra. You know, official news that we can share. We've shared basically everything we know so far, that it could be a twin turbo V6, right? We've shared some of the other stuff like
and possibly a hybrid.
Yeah, possible. Obviously, a possible hybrid depending on this Max in blue label that they're putting on this engine.
But we have no other data that we can give you currently about this vehicle. However, there are a couple things to keep in mind. We have it on good information that other platforms and other powertrains may be shared with this. So it's quite possible that the Sequoia, among other vehicles, may be getting the same treatment. If the Sequoia comes back as the Sequoia, it's not what I would call a sales leader, although it's been a very steady seller for Toyota. But it's also something that is extremely old. Now, something else that's extremely old. Promises that are unfulfilled.
One second. Hold that thought for a second. You mentioned, where was I going?
Okay. Do you want to go to Lordstown and just forget about that brain fart of yours?
Yes.
Because that was my point. Promises unfulfilled, Lordstown.
Lordstown. So recent news came out that Lordstown Motors right? That, which is within the Workhorse, kind of the company umbrella.
Yeah.
Has been developing and also promised this truck, the Endurance. It's an all-electric truck, right? And it's very unique design. And they have the Lordstown, Ohio plant that used to be GM plant that they, you know, have been had procured.
Right.
And they were building it up.
Yep.
Well, they had some. First of all, before this week, they had a few setbacks.
They've had several setbacks, but shall we start with the first one where they entered the Baja
race,
and they weren't able to even come close to completing it. I think they did 40 miles, and then they had to go off, and it was not what I would call a very good PR run, especially because other car companies and other, like Volkswagen, managed to complete races and managed to do things with electric vehicles. So
and some privateers in electric vehicles.
Right, and they didn't even have qualified drivers really in there. I mean, not by our standards. So it was a PR nightmare for them, and they tried the best to spin it and say, hey, you know, it was a great first.
We're learning.
Yeah, we're learning.
But
fair
then,
enough.
But then, oopsies. By the way, this is a publicly traded company.
Yep.
And then they said, oopsies, you know, we're going to decrease our volume of trucks that we're promising to deliver this year from what we originally promised. I think they cut it by about half.
Right. And that brought out some questions.
By the way, several people have put deposits down on these vehicles. And we know some of the guys who did.
Yes, we do. So there was more oopsies.
Yeah, what's the other whoopsie?
The other whoopsie was overpromising or overstating what their sales numbers actually were.
Yeah, or those contracts.
Those contracts,
yeah. Right. Basically, they said, you know, because this is also going to be a work vehicle, a fleet vehicle. So they overstated what they were planning to deliver overall.
Correct.
And then this week, the CEO and the CFO just happened to resign.
Yeah, at the same time, and part of that had to do with those overstated numbers.
Yeah, and because they're obviously their performance is not to the level that, first of all, the investors expect, and also people who have submitted deposits expect, and obviously everybody else expects.
Now, the thing about Lordstown is compared to a lot of other startups, Lordstown has had really big contributors, really big political backing. There's been a lot of buzz about this company, and they haven't really been able to deliver on something that seems solid. So all of these setbacks really hurt the company.
Yes, and so now they have new leadership, right? They have a board of directors. They have appointed some new leaders. So yeah, but it's not looking good. Obviously, of course, we welcome new startup companies and also other companies that are getting into the space.
Yeah, sure.
You know, another company that had a poor record was Nikola, where they were promising a truck.
Oh, and that went crazy.
That was a whole different.
GM wishes they could wipe that away.
Yeah, because GM invested into that company, and of course the company basically couldn't deliver their promises.
Right.
So. But at least, you know, I like the competition that actually is trying to do something. Because, you know, there's obviously established manufacturers like Ford and others and GM and who are, you know, Ford already announced their Lightning truck, right? The F-150 Lightning. GM is working on an electric Silverado.
Plus GM also has the Hummer and all that.
And other vehicles.
Yeah, and then Tesla, of course. So what we were expecting to see out of this company was massive fleet sales. And eventually trickle down, you know, sales to regular Joes like you and me. And we saw a shot like this a little while ago, which showed an interesting take on an interior. I was totally fine with it, hoping that the overall driving experience of this truck would actually be a good one. Things were looking really good. And then all of this news sort of snowballed and came out in a very short amount of time. And I think that investor confidence in this company has dropped significantly. But they still say that they're going to be able to produce a product.
This year and the following year. Mm-hmm. So they're saying they will deliver some trucks in 2021 and 2022.
Okay.
So that's all we know for now. It is kind of not so great news.
No, it's not so great news. I don't want them to fail. I really hope that, you know, that they got through this horrible mess of bad PR and bad decisions, and they're able to produce a truck that's somewhat comparable or at least somewhat competitive with perhaps Ford or someone else. I would love that, because when there's competition, it forces everybody to rise. And if this thing is decent, that's great. You know, even if it's only in limited supply at first, that will be great because it forces the competition to up their game. However, right now things are not looking great, and I'm hoping that Lordstown gets their head out of their patootie and figures this out and gets some product out there that actually works right and does what's advertised.
And we would be happy to actually test drive it, review it, and do many videos about this.
If we get one, we put it on the Ike.
Yeah, absolutely. And take it off-road.
Hell yeah.
I want to close this segment or this show on this. I remembered what my brain fart was.
Okay.
So you talked about Sequoia.
Mm-hmm.
And before we were going to Texas, this event we talked about, I saw on the agenda Sequoia.
Hmm.
It said Sequoia, let's meet for the Sequoia. And I was like, oh, yes. The agenda says Sequoia. We might see something about the new SUV, and it's going to be amazing. So,
did they give you a new paint color?
I get there. No, it wasn't that.
Okay.
I get there, and I was like, I was asking the PR team. I was like, we're going to see the new Sequoia. This is amazing, guys. They're like, no, we're not. Who told you this? I said, well, I'm looking at your agenda. And we looked at the agenda together, and they said, oh, no, Andre, we're meeting at the Sequoia Conference Center. Their conference room is named Sequoia.
It's called the Sequoia?
Yes.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Because every conference room in their headquarters is named after a vehicle. There's a Corolla meeting place.
Oh,
there's a
no.
Camry meeting place. You know, all this stuff. Well, that was kind of a bummer.
I could just see your expression, the pain and the sorrow. And they probably saw that too and probably patted you on the shoulder and said, it's okay, Andre.
And they wouldn't confirm that it's coming. I said, can you tell me Sequoia is coming, the next one? No comment.
No comment, of course.
Anyway, so on that note, let's close the...
Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Once again, you know, we are looking forward to getting a lot of news to you about Toyota. They are following some major news that came out of Ford, who basically has thrown a big monkey wrench into everybody's world. And I have a feeling Toyota will respond in kind. So I'm looking forward to this.
And as always, you can find us on tfltruck.com and tfloffroad.com. And please also help support us. Patreon page, patreon.com/tflcars, where you can actually support us with donations, but also ask us questions.
Right. So this is individual. When you go to the Patreon thing, this will actually allow us to directly answer your questions, whatever question you may have, within reason.
Yes.
I don't do bathing suits.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.